Man, my words of welcome to those that have already been expressed. We're so glad to be able to be together this afternoon as God's people. On a beautiful day like this that the Lord has given us, it shouldn't be very difficult for us to, in our hearts, motivate ourselves to worship and praise our God who's been so very good to us today and blessed us in so many ways. And even in time of sorrow and loss that we are experiencing here at Eastside with the passing of our brother Roger, we still have such comfort in the blessings and the power of God. And it's a great thing that we can be together and share in the fellowship of Christ this evening. When you were little, if you're my age at least, when you were little, and younger than myself, those who are older may not be able to relate to this, but we used to have these glow-in-the-dark toys. Now, like I said, those that are older than me, you might have just had dark when you were little. But when I was little, you had these glow-in-the-dark toys. And, you know, there might be a sticker or a ball or something, and you could hold it up to a light during the daytime, and it would absorb that light. And then at night, when you turn the lights out in your room, you could that thing would glow. And it might glow for hours. And it was just so fascinating to me, and probably many of us when we were children, maybe even still today, to see what those phosphors in the whatever it was. And you might even today see things like this, stars that are glow in the dark. I think you can actually buy these different places over at the Space Center. I think I've seen them. We can buy these stick-on stars that they absorb light during the day, and then you can stick them on the ceiling of your bedroom at night, and you can lay in bed and look at the stars, even though you still have a ceiling on your bedroom. So that's really nice. The concept of absorbing light so that you can then return it and glow. Christians need to be glow in the dark. We need to be those who absorb light and then go out and shine in this dark world. Now the thing about this is this. You know those glow in the dark toys? When you held them up to the light and in the daytime, you couldn't really see them glow because the glow was kind of faint, right? Do you remember, and I used to do this, I'd have one of these toys and I'd have been holding it up to the light for some time and letting it out, you know, maybe sitting out in the sunshine, and then I get that thing and it's not dark yet, but you know, I'd go in my room and I'd try to put my hand over it and shadow it to see if it was glowing, and well, that wasn't working, I still can't tell, so I'd go in my closet and shut the door and it was totally dark in there. Oh wow, it's glowing. So you have to get in the dark to see whether or not they're glowing. This evening, I can't tell whether you're glowing. Tonight, we'll be absorbing some light. But you really can't tell whether you glow until you get out in the dark. We need to take what we gain tonight, what we gain from a study of the Scriptures, as we'll talk about in a couple of minutes, to take that out in the dark world and use it to glow. As we begin our study tonight, think with me how that, in order for Christians to glow, the first thing they have to do is to absorb the light by believing and following Christ, because He is, after all, the light. In John's Gospel, in John chapter 1 and verse 4, John introduces Him to us this way. After talking about how He is the Word, and the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, so on and so forth. But in John chapter 1 and verse 4, He says, "In Him was life." The Zoe. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Christ is the light bearer. He is the light bringer. He is the light. In verse 9 of that same context, John says about Him that He is the true light which gives light to everyone coming into the world. Here's Jesus, the source of life spiritually. In Psalm 36 and verse 9, the psalmist had written, "For with You is the fountain of life, and in Your light we see light." And in Psalm 18 and verse 28, "You will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." So all of these passages and many more maybe that we could look at tell us of our Lord as the source of light, the giver of light, the one who illuminates human beings, spiritually. When we follow Jesus, we have the light of life. Later on in the Gospel of John, in chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus spoke to the Jews on that occasion. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So when we follow Christ, we have an experience in the light with Him who is the light. It's no wonder when we read about the glories of heaven that John is clear to us, the last couple of chapters of Revelation, that the city has no need of the sun to shine because the Lamb is its light. He's the eternal light of mankind, of the souls of men. And so in John 12 and verse 46, Jesus says, I've come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And in John 12 and verse 36, he says, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. And I want to focus on that phrase with you, sons of light. What does it mean to be a son of light? Well, you believe in the light, you let the light shine on you, but to be a son of light, maybe doesn't that imply that the light not only shines on you, but you yourself reflect it, that maybe even it shines through you in some way? I read a story about a young boy about 9 years old who with his parents went to Europe for the summer vacation, and they visited in Europe some of the old great cathedrals of times past. And as he would visit a cathedral, one after the other, he'd admire, as a young child might, the beautiful stained glass windows in those cathedrals, the massive stained glass portraits of Bible characters, disciples, and other saints. And I use that term. Of course, the Catholics who built those cathedrals, they have a special meaning for the term saints. We don't use that term a lot because of the misuse of it by our Catholic friends. But a saint isn't somebody, of course, who's been canonized by the church or given a special, status by the church that conferred upon them. But a saint is someone merely who is a holy one, a child of God. In the New Testament, you might find this interesting. Common words that we use to describe Christians are, well, first of all, Christian. You know, in the New Testament, the word Christian occurs only three times. From Acts to Revelation, the word disciple or disciples only occurs 30 times. However, the word saint or saints occurs 61 times. It's actually the most common appellation for Christians in the New Testament. And yet it's a word that we don't use. Let me finish my story about the little boy. He comes home after his vacation. He's in Bible class one Sunday morning. And his teacher asked the question. This verse talks about a saint. Now, what is a saint? And you can just see the wheels turning in the little boy's mind. As he thinks about his vacation earlier that summer and seeing all of that stained glass and all of those figures, Bible characters, disciples, and saints, true saints perhaps, being depicted in those stained glass paintings. And the little boy's answer to the question, who is a saint, was this. It's someone who the light shines through. I like that. A saint is someone who the light shines through. Jesus, we understand, is the light, but do we understand that He's to shine in and through us? That we absorb His light and reflect it to a lost and dying world? Think about with me for a few moments, how do we absorb that light? In order for Christians to glow in the dark, we have to first absorb it. We do it, obviously, by studying God's Word. I think that's a simple and straightforward answer. And this lesson tonight is a simple and straightforward lesson. Nothing, perhaps, that we've heard before, but something I hope that will encourage you as you live day to day, as you think about what your role here is in this world, in this life, to realize, as we need to be reminded of so continually, I do, why God has placed us here and what life is all about. We who are His children, who are His saints, need to be glow in the dark. And to do that, we absorb. We absorb by studying God's Word. We need that for ourselves. We need God's Word in our lives to see where we are going and to see how to go in life. So many difficulties come up in life. So many difficult decisions and choices to be made between not only good and bad and right and wrong, but maybe what's best and what's better. And God's book gives us guidance along the way and all along the way. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 105. In Proverbs 4 and verse 18, Solomon notices this. He says that the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. But you see, a just person, a righteous person, a child of God, a saint, sees where he is going because Christ in His Word has illuminated the way. We are not in darkness. We are not stumbling about wondering what direction we should go in. We have been shown the way to go in life. And we get that information in God's Word. We refer to it sometimes as a map for life. And it truly is. John 11 and verse 10, Jesus says, if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. If you don't have that light, you're going to stumble. How many times have you got up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep? You go to the kitchen to get a glass of water. During the daytime, you've walked that path 1,000 times. You get up in the night and try to do it without the lights on. What are you going to do? 9 times out of 10, you're going to stub your toe. You're going to trip over something that the grandkids left in the floor, or you're going to hit it on the couch. And it's just because you think you know the way, but because it's dark, you don't see what's in the way. And you don't really see how you're supposed to go. God has given us light to walk by. We need to make use of that. We need to understand that there is a way to go, and God has clarified it for us. And so we read in Psalm 119 and verse 130, which, of course, the 119th Psalm is this beautiful acrostic in praise to the Word of God and the power of God's Word in the life of His children. But in verse 130 it says that the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. What I love about God's Word, among many things, is that you really don't have to be all that bright yourself, if I may use that phrase. You don't have to be all that bright yourself to use God's Word. It gives light even to one who's, we might say, a dull bulb. Somebody who's not all that bright himself. But it gives light even to that person. Even to, what does the text say? Even to the simple. They can be instructed and shown in the way to go. Proverbs 6 and verse 23, the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are a way of life. The thing that makes us unique and special is that we glow in the dark. As we said earlier, when you're looking at those glow-in-the-dark toys in the light, you can't always tell. But once we absorb this light, we glow. We absorb it not only through studying God's Word, and by that having daily illumination for our own path, but we also gain light, absorb light, through prayer. I'm reminded of the story in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 29, where Moses had gone up to Mount Sinai and confronted God, if you will. The Bible says God spoke to him face to face. The text tells us in Exodus 34 and verse 29 that it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone when and while he talked with him. His face was so bright, Paul later refers to this as he writes to the Corinthians, that a veil had to be put over there. He was just shining so brightly. And I understand that that was a literal occurrence, and it doesn't literally occur when we talk to God in prayer or allow Him to talk to us in His Word. But in principle, I believe it does. Have you ever been around somebody, maybe somebody you really don't know that well, but for some reason you're thrown into a circumstance with them, something at work or at school or whatever, and there's something about them. And later on you find out that they're a Christian. I had that experience actually this afternoon. This afternoon I went to a little furniture store not far from where I live, and was talking with the lady there. and we were talking about some common people that we knew and all that sort of thing, and she just seemed so nice and so, you know, concerned about, you know, my life and all of that sort of thing. And in a few minutes after we continued to talk, we both realized that we're Christians. And you just have you had that experience before? Something about them, what would you say? They just glow. They just shine. You know that here's a person who has listened to God and who talks to God. We need to be that kind of person. Someone who, people who just know you casually, maybe they don't really know your relationship with God, and then sometime down the road they find out you're a Christian. Why, you're a member of the Eastside Church of Christ. And they would say something like, I just knew there was something special about you. We should aspire, all of us, to be those kinds of people. And we can be. Let God talk to you and talk to Him. Listen to Psalm 34 and verse 5. They looked to Him. Listen. They looked to Him and were radiant. And their faces were not ashamed. When we look to God, we become radiant. There's a purpose for all of this. Absorbing light. And as we've said, it's so that we might glow and glorify God. Those in darkness need to be able to see what they're doing. The bad choices they are making. You know, making decisions in the dark can lead to some really regrettable consequences. We've talked about, you know, stubbing your toe as you're trying to decide which direction to go, even in a place you're familiar with. Back in the days before electricity, there's a story about a man who was a farmer. He owned a little bit of land. He had a hired hand. But he was known to be very tight-fisted, very careful with his dollars. Well, his hired hand had a girlfriend, and when he got some time off in the evenings, once in a while, he wanted to go over, you know, two or three farms away and visit his girlfriend, go courting. And he would carry a lantern with him, one of these oil-burning lamps. And the farmer always complained about that. He said, you know, you're wasting my oil going over there to see your girlfriend. It's a waste of my oil. It's a waste of money to burn the lamp. You just need to go in the dark. You know, when I was courting, he said, I wouldn't burn a lamp. You know, I'd just go in the dark. And his hired hand said, yeah, and look at what you got as a result of that. So, you know, there are sometimes when you need some light. There's sometimes when you need some light. When we live our lives, we need light. We need to see clearly about the decisions that we're making. And the thing is, think about this. People in the world don't have light unless they have it through you. They can't see how bad their decisions are. They can't see what awful mistakes they're really making unless you illuminate that for them. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 with me. Several verses here. Let's pick up the reading in verse 8. Listen to Paul's challenge to us. He says in Ephesians 5 and verse 8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In verse 10, he says, "Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." So our responsibility is to be light, to walk as children of light. To do that, we have to do just what we've been talking about, absorb the light. We have to find out what God wants us to do, what His light reveals to us. I think that's what verse 10 is saying. And then in verse 11, he says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." You've got to show people in the darkness how bad their works are. That's part of being the light. That doesn't mean walking around telling everybody they're going to hell. That's not what He's saying to do. He's saying to expose wrong for what it is and the consequences of wrong for what they are, and let people know where they're headed as a result of their decisions. Expose them. Manifest them as being bad decisions because of who God is. He says in verse 12, it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. That's you and I. To make manifest means to make it known. Our job, then, is to shine as lights. To make known what God's will is, what the right way is, to share that with people, and to wake them up. The tendency is for most folks, if they're not wandering around stumbling into things in the darkness, they're sleeping. Look at verse 14. He goes on to say, therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. We're out there in the world, we're to shake people, so to speak, not literally perhaps, but metaphorically, and wake them up to spiritual light, to the fact that there is a God in heaven, to the fact that He has sent His Son as a light into the world, to the fact that following that light is what He wants for you and for all men, and to share that with those that we come in contact with. We need to take this responsibility seriously. Look at verses 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Those in darkness can't see what they're doing. We need to be their light. We need to be their light so that the lost might be saved. Satan would like the world to never see the light. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. The light of the gospel that is shown into you and that can shine through you, the light of Jesus Christ, Satan would like that to be veiled from the perception of every person in the world. And Paul says, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Do you know what? God commanded light to shine in darkness. He put light into the apostles, and they shared it with men. Paul goes on and talks about that in the next couple of verses. In verse 5, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here's the blessing that God has for mankind, to shine the light of His Son into the hearts of the apostles, that they might share it with all of mankind, that we all might be in the light. And the purpose, of course, is that God would be glorified. Look at Philippians chapter 2 with me. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14 for a moment. I'm going to say a couple of things here. They're a little bit off script, but I hope that they will help us understand some things about how we let our light shine, okay? He starts out by saying in Philippians 2 and verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, the Apostle Paul uses a lot of, in English, what we'd call run-on sentences. And so because they're so long, but they're also very deep and meaningful, but because they're so long, sometimes if we're not careful, we lose the thread of a thought before we get to the end of a sentence. I actually stopped before the end of that sentence. But I want to point something out to you. The first thing he says is, do everything, do all things without murmuring and complaining. And one translation says disputing. Stop arguing among yourselves. Stop fussing with one another. Why? So that you can be the light. People can't see you shine. When you're putting a bushel over that light, a basket over that light, by your fussing and fighting and inability to get along and forgive one another, as we were talking about in the lesson this morning, your light can't shine in those circumstances. We need to remember this. When we get at odds with one another as Christians, when there's tension among us, when we start to feud and fight with one another and become such as our complaining and disputing, We need to remember that we're not glowing anymore. And God sent us here to glow. Look what else He says in this text. Among whom, He says in the end of verse 15, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And the New King James Version says, holding fast the word of life. Now, interestingly, the American Standard, the King James Version, also in this text, instead of saying holding fast, they say holding forth. And I think that's probably a little more accurate in this case. Holding forth the word of life. That's what we do. That's how we glow. That's how we let our light shine. By holding forth the word of life, He says, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labor in vain. The Message translation, which is really a paraphrase and not necessarily recommended, but sometimes it has some good phrasing that helps us see more clearly what a passage says. Where these translations say holding fast or holding forth the word of life, the Message says, carry the light-giving message into the night. It's really a good paraphrase of what Paul is saying there. We glow in the dark so that those in darkness can see what they're doing, so that the lost might be saved, and maybe first and foremost, so that God can be glorified. Because you remember, that's why we're here, right? To the end, as Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, to the end that we should be to the praise of His glory. Our entire existence, our entire purpose, is about glorifying God. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it shines to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I thought about that passage and preparing for this lesson, and I thought about my brother Roger Andrews as just one of many examples that we might think of, but he's been on my mind a lot. Let your light shine by your good works. And buddy, he did. It has been said, and I think this applies to Roger and a lot of others in this room, it needs to apply to all of us. It has been said that stars do not shout. They only shine. God is glorified in the stars. May God be glorified in us. Just glow. There's some people you're going to run across that's still going to love the darkness. They'll run from you. They'll hate you. They'll persecute you. They'll say bad things about you. Jesus said that would be the case, John 3, verse 19. This is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Some people change their ways when they see the light, and others never change until they feel the heat. But their change is not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to glow. Therefore, just make sure that you do that. Jesus says, take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you is not darkness. Those who are wise, and I think there are a lot here who are, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars, forever and ever. Let's shine like that. Let's this week decide we're going to glow. We've sat here, we've absorbed, we've thought about the greatness of the light of Christ. Let's go out and show it. Let's live it. Let's talk about it. Let's do the works that help others so that God can be glorified. Tonight, if you've not been glowing as you should and you realize that and you'd like to ask God to forgive you and you promise to do better in the future and you intend to do so, we encourage you to come forward with such a confession. We'll pray with you and for you, and God will forgive you and help you be stronger and brighter in the future. And if you've never named the name of Jesus, if you've never known what it is to walk in His light and have Him shine through you, what a great experience to realize, to understand, to experience why you exist. If you've never experienced that, there's no better time than now. Name the name of Jesus and turn away from the darkness and turn to the light. Be baptized in water for the remission of your sins and rise to walk a new life that shines forever and ever. Please come while we stand and sing.
Charm.